not the best place or the right place to make active investments in firms that are touching on the issues that we heard from all these folks right before I came back to the table. There are other opportunities and other bureaus whose missions are suited to that. The city's cash that is managed in the investment portfolio, these are debt service reserves. They're proceeds of bond issues for the utility bureaus, et cetera. And the ORS and the investment policy, the overarching goal in managing those policies is to preserve the principal, to ensure the safety and the liquidity of those funds, and then only thirdly is to look for a return. So it's really to preserve those funds, those tax revenues that we're collecting, et cetera, for the purposes of running the city. We are limited to firms that are AA minus or higher rated. A lot of the firms that people that do the things that people were talking about before, maybe new firms, young firms, they don't have debt outstanding. If they do, it's not rated high enough. So the portfolio, I would suggest, is just not the right place to achieve those ends.
That's a helpful explanation. Other questions for our staff before we proceed?
Actually, Mayor, I wanted to take a moment to explain what the advisory committee is doing, and this seems like as good a time as any. Would that be okay?
Yes.
So we appointed an advisory committee to look at a variety of different criteria through which to examine companies that we might potentially to meet the criteria that we might potentially buy their bonds. And they're supposed to look at companies' impact on the environment, but also in human health, their sort of general ethical practices, whether they have engaged in extreme forms of tax evasion, what their human rights record is. So we've asked that committee to look at all of those factors and give us a recommendation of companies to put on the do not buy list. The committee was really, after a long process of appointing them, only recently convened. I don't expect to get a final recommendation from that committee until 2016. The do not buy list that we have expires annually. The current list will expire at the end of this calendar year. My colleagues should expect to see a resolution from me before the end of the year extending the list for an additional year. The committee's charge is to come up with one set of recommendations per year. It could be that they have a recommendation, you know, towards earlier in the next year rather than towards the end. So it may be that we won't have, that we'll have an update earlier than a year from now. But I just wanted to clarify that what we're doing here today is sort of different from what the committee is asked to do. We asked the committee to look at a variety of criteria, and what we expect is that the companies they suggest putting on the do not buy list will be companies that run afoul of more than one, probably several criteria. So we'd be putting fossil fuels on the same list, but through a rather different process.
Thank you very much. Good, helpful explanation. Okay, let's take a roll call vote. And if you would, Carla, would you please call Commissioner Fish first and out of order, because he's on a very tight schedule and he will have to leave without listening to the rest of us. So I know he's all broken up about that, but he's got to go. So if you would please call the roll.
I'll watch Channel 30 tonight.
Fish.
Mayor Hales, thank you for bringing this resolution forward and for the leadership you've shown all week on climate action issues. Steve, thank you for getting the ball rolling in bringing socially responsible investing to the council and the do not buy list. 350.org and 350.pdx, thank you for your stellar advocacy and for keeping this issue in the forefront. Zach, congratulations on your debut appearance. I would say the reviews are very, very strong. And not surprised, given your family history. And this is another important step forward in this council's leadership around climate, and I'm pleased to cast my vote aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Saltzman?
Well, I'd also like to thank Mayor Hales for his leadership in bringing this resolution before us, and I do believe this is an appropriate, and I want to thank 350PDX, 350.org, for their tireless advocacy. These are issues that do demand the attention of the highest, those in the highest elected office, and I guess in our little kingdom, that's us right now for this minute. But as we've seen today on the national screen, on the national forum, many illustrious world leaders are calling for decisive actions on behalf of our climate. And this is an important step in the right direction. It may not satisfy, it may not be total divestment, but it's certainly the recognition that fossil fuel companies should not be recipients of our future investments. And that's an important given that cities tend to last for hundreds of years, that's a pretty important signal to be sending at this point. And I hope that many will join us. I was very impressed to hear that some $2 trillion of portfolios have divested themselves from the 200 or so companies on this list. That's very impressive. As somebody who was active as a graduate student, I served on the I was the graduate student representative on the advisory committee for institutional responsibility, where I went to graduate school, and that was in like 1980. And very much at that time, we were talking about issues of divesting of stocks in South Africa or stocks in companies that did business in South Africa. And it often seems, you know, you can often feel like, well, what's one college's decision going to do to make a difference? Well, if you look at South Africa today, we have a democracy. It still faces huge economic problems, but nevertheless, it is a democracy. And so it was a mission accomplished, and I think it had a lot to do with those little voices here and there that started speaking up. And this is one more step in that right direction, a concerted effort of many voices speaking up. Please to vote aye.
Novick?
So I doubt any of them are listening, but I'd like to start by addressing the climate skeptics and the people who I'm sure there would be that would call us hypocrites. There's people who say that climate disruption just isn't happening. It's a left-wing myth that was designed to give cover for social engineering. I wish it were a myth. I wish we were not watching the destruction of the world as we know it. Unfortunately, that's a scientific fact. And there's going to be people who say, you're hypocrites. Don't the members of the city council drive? Doesn't the city buy power from PGE, which still has fossil fuels as part of their mix? And yes, we do. But that doesn't mean we have to invest our money in fossil fuels. It doesn't mean the city has to be in the business of making money off fossil fuel companies. This obviously is just one of the steps that we need to take. We need to do, and we're trying to do, a heck of a lot more. We are trying to make this a city where it's easier for people to bike and walk and take transit, and that requires significant investments, and it means asking taxpayers for money, and it also means doing projects that cause significant inconvenience quite often. But it needs to be done. One of the roiling issues we have in the city now is people who are upset about new construction, particularly of apartment buildings. And people are saying the new apartment building is ruining my neighborhood. And we should take whatever steps we can to mitigate the impact of new construction on existing residents. But it's a counterintuitive fact that denser development is good for the environment. Because if you've got 7,000 people living within a quarter mile of each other, a grocery store will spring up to serve those 7,000 people so people can walk to the grocery store instead of drive. And transit only becomes viable when there's a sufficient number of people at each stop for it to make sense. I mean, in New York, everybody hates the subway. That's because there's enough people at each subway stop in New York to maintain a subway. So we are going to be asking our fellow citizens to tolerate all sorts of things in order to address the threat of climate disruption. But that's necessary because it is the greatest threat that human beings have ever faced. There's nothing else like this. I was reading last year Elizabeth Colbert's book, The Sixth Extinction, which Jeff Merkley, our senator, is such a great nerd. He said, you know, there was another book with that title 10 years ago about the same issue. Elizabeth Colbert was, you know, robbing the name. But still, it's a great book, and it is so sad, because Elizabeth Colbert outlines the fact that it is likely that 20 to 50% of all species on Earth will go extinct in the next few decades. And the sad thing is, that's likely what's going to happen. We are fighting against the odds. If you look at the makeup of Congress right now, it's obvious we're fighting against the odds. But to quote Antonio Gramsci, the Italian communist political philosopher, pessimism of the intellect, optimism of the will. That's a phrase to live by. And the action we're taking today is an expression of optimism of the will, that we can take this one small step to help stave off the end of life as we know it. Aye.
Hales.
I want to thank my very thoughtful council colleagues and excellent city staff and wonderful advocates from the community for getting us to this day. A couple of people referred to my visit to the Vatican and the amazing honor of having Portland be invited to have me on behalf of our community and 60 other mayors from around the world meet with Pope Francis about his encyclical about climate change and human suffering. And I was inspired there, and I was encouraged there, and I was alarmed by what I heard. First, I was inspired by the encyclical and what Pope Francis said then and again this morning about this being a moral issue. And it's a moral issue not only because of care for the earth, but because of climate change's effects on the erosion of culture and the vulnerability of individual people that that disruption precipitates. And he's so clear in weaving those ideas together. I was inspired by that. I was encouraged because among the experts that spoke there, among the climate experts that spoke there, there was a very strong message, which is, as Steve just indicated, it is reasonable to hope. It is not too late. It is very bad. It is very dire, but it is not too late. And I think that's important. And, in fact, the fact that cities were invited there is a wonderful thing because national governments talk and cities act. And the Pope and the Vatican actually recognize that, that most of the innovation and forward motion on these kinds of issues is happening at the city level. And in fact, my wife, Nancy, recounts this. When the Pope was speaking to us, he kept talking about world leaders in his comments. And she said she was literally sort of looking around. Who's he talking about? Oh, he's talking about the mayors. he believes that we're world leaders. And actually, that's true when you look at what's going on this issue, because so much innovation and forward motion is taking place at the city level. We're a C40 city. Now there are 73 C40 cities. If those cities do what is in their carbon action plans, like ours, if we do what we say we will do in our plans, we will avoid 8 billion tons of atmospheric carbon generation by those cities alone. If another 73 say, we're going that way, and if 73 more or after that follow them, that's going to have a global impact, and that's the whole point. So it's not too late. But then I was also alarmed because those climate scientists, in addition to saying there is time to act, there's time to bend that curve to 2 degrees instead of 5, we can do this. They also said, and in order to do that, we must strand a great deal of the carbon that has now been identified in the ground where it lies now. That's a radical statement to many people. But it is a radical truth that I think we have to learn and deal with. So I'm proud of where we are. We are an environmentally responsible city and a financially responsible city. So I appreciate your good work, Treasurer Cooperman. We have this solid reputation as a city. I was reflecting on hearing you speak because we always hire very prudent professionals as our treasurer, as we should. It's our money, after all. And I actually was across the street with your predecessor a couple of treasurers ago, a man named David Smith, when we passed the first parks bond measure in Portland. And we passed it at a strange time because Orange County had just gone bankrupt. And so the Moody's raters came into town, raters, not raiders, came into town to rate our credit and said, you know, they had a lot of hard questions. And, of course, they asked questions about, you know, were we doing those imprudent things that Orange County had done? And this very mild-mannered person, David Smith, you know, literally got red in the face and started pounding on the table. We don't buy derivatives. We don't, you know, here are all these prudent things we do. And that's good. I'm proud of Portland for being a thoughtfully managed enterprise. But we also have a call to action on a moral and human level that this reflects. So hold us accountable. Tell us to do more. Tell us to put that carbon action plan, that climate action plan, into action in lots of ways, big and small, jobs, change, investment, policy, and make us reflect those values in all that we do. But this is a good step, and I'm very proud of us for taking it. Aye. Thank you all. We're adjourned.